Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I also want to welcome all of you who are a part of the Naked and Unafraid series. If you're in another church, small group today, we welcome you today. This series is about embracing the risk and experiencing the rewards of a large, open, and expansive life. How many of you believe today that God's not finished with you, that God has more for you? Well, let's pray together. Say with me, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. So today, we're going to talk about the third key of living naked and unafraid. You can see them as they go up on the screen. We started with risk exposure. Last week, we talked about abandoned smallness. And today, we're going to talk about push past criticism. We're going to talk about having courage in criticism. See, pushing past the fear of criticism starts by not trying to avoid it. Some of the best people with the greatest potential are choosing to avoid the criticism that comes when you risk exposure, put yourself out there, abandon smallness to be all that you're meant to be. And my hope is that this message will help everyone who's putting yourself out there as a leader, as an advocate, a voice, to pursue a dream, build a business, serve others, and to be all that God has called you to be. I just hope this message will encourage you. We need great leaders in our community, in our families, in our nation. Just one thing maybe you haven't thought about is, and you look at the national landscape and you're wondering, how come there's not more people that are running for president? This message has a whole lot to do with that reality in our world today. There's a lot at risk whenever you step out and whenever you go for it. There's going to be, among other things, you're going to have and face criticism. And I just hope I can encourage some of you, somebody this weekend who God has a plan for your life, and you've been being careful and you've been hesitating and you've been cautious. And one of the things you've been cautious about is you've been wondering what people will think and what people will say. So are you ready to receive this today? All right, Matthew 11, Jesus is making some comments related to the critics of his day. And he said in verse 18 and 19, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say," they say. Everybody say that with me. They say. He has a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. One thing you need to always remember is that there will always be a they. And what they say is hearsay. I've had people actually approach me over the years of pastoring, and they're wanting to let me know something, and they began with they. They say, and I say, who is they? And I found out when I press a little bit that they is actually them. Don't be afraid of they. I said, don't be afraid of they. There's always going to be a little bit of they out there. And you know what? If Jesus was perfect and he had critics, what chance do any of us have of not being criticized? Point that Jesus is making here is that on this side, you got John, who's all buttoned up and tidy and doing everything the law requires, and then you got me. I came along, and I'm a friend of sinners, and I'm not exactly doing it with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all that stuff. We were Sadducee. They are Pharisee. They are, and I'm just Jesus. And over here, he's got critics, and over here, I got critics. And so Jesus' point is there's always going to be somebody, no matter what you do, you're not going to please everybody. And one way to look at it, by the way, is if you're doing your best and being criticized, you're in good company with some great people. Aristotle said this. He said, there's only one way to avoid criticism. Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Eleanor Roosevelt said, do what you feel in your heart to be right, for you'll be criticized anyway. And then I guess my favorite is this. Don't be distracted by criticism. Remember, the only taste of success some people will have is when they take a bite out of you. Hello. Go zig. A friend of mine recently retired from being an elementary school principal, and he spent his entire career in the hallways and in the classroom of schools, solving problems, coaching students, helping teachers. He was great at what he did. He loved the kids loved him. But what amazed me was how subjected he was to the criticism of parents. And he told me, he said, you know, I understand as a father that parents need a place to communicate, express concerns. And he actually commented about the many great parents who he loved to work with, and he found it a joy to work with. But he had a chance at early retirement, and he took it because what wore him down was the people who were mean-spirited, often angry, inconsiderate, who vented their frustrations on him and other members of the school staff. That kind of criticism is ugly, destructive. It's the lowest form of communication, and it doesn't deserve to be heard. Now, he was in a position where all the overseers in the school district, and to be politically correct, he had to accommodate all the critics. And it wore him down. And I often think, you know, who would be out there doing in our education system? Who would be out there doing great things? And why is there a void so often today? I'm just presenting this, and I think I'm on to something. That the criticism is driving a lot of capable, competent, great people into seclusion. It's interesting how when you start to step out, even the people closest to you can become your greatest critics. The book Naked and Unafraid is about David, like through every section of the book. So let me just tell you a little bit about his life. He's a hero to me, he's a biblical hero to me. But when David was considering fighting Goliath, his older brother, whose name was Eliab, spoke heavy, harsh criticism to David. He degraded him, told him to leave and go home. He didn't belong out there on the battlefield with the real soldiers. Later on, when David was patrolling the borders of his nation, he and his men came back to their outpost at a place called Ziklag and discovered that their enemy had taken their wives and children. The men blamed and criticized David. They said it was his fault, and they were threatening to kill him. The Bible says David wept. But thankfully, he didn't let the hate and the criticism defeat him. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. When every word was a critical word, when every word was a discouraging word, even coming from people who were close to him, he encouraged himself. And then he went after his enemies and he recovered everything that was stolen from them. I believe King David knew when he took off his robe and danced in the streets, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I believe he knew that when he did that, that his wife, who was sitting in the window, was not going to give him a welcome home party that night. It was not like Valentine's Day, I can assure you, in that palace. But he didn't let that stop him. So he not only knew what was in his history, but he knew what was in his history was going to be part of his legacy. That if he was going to do what God called him to do, he was going to have to be strong, stand strong in the face of the critics, even those who were closest to him. See, people who sit in windows are the greatest critics to those who dance in the streets. Wow, that was good, Pastor Kevin. My goodness. Window watchers who haven't even tried to do what the people in the streets are doing. Armchair quarterbacks. Talk like experts. In the media. In the bleachers. On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, self-appointed critics, unqualified, biased, full of opinions, never been in the streets. They don't know what it's like in the streets. I hope I'm encouraging some street dancer today. I may be talking to a few of you this weekend, but that's okay with me. If I can just get some street dancers to stay in the streets when there's critics in the window. If I can just get some of you young men, young women, to make up your mind. You're not going to determine your destiny based on what somebody said who's never down in the streets doing what God's called them to do. One of the things that's helped me to handle criticism is to realize that most of the time, the criticism that I've experienced has little or nothing to do with me. Took me a while to figure that out, but then I began to realize, and sometimes I could even like say, I'm just gonna step back, absorb this, and watch. Because their anger, their frustration, their accusation is going to continue to bring their life down. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about what's going on in their heart that they're not They're not reconciling. It's about their own issues that they're not coming to terms with. Their anger, it's about their hurt, which is why you and I can't let the critics affect us or decide what we do. And it may surprise you, or not, to know that churches are not a safe zone from critics. Flash news. In fact, church-going, religious people can be some of the meanest people in town. Oh, I'm just going to let that sit there for a minute. Because I didn't really come here to preach at the critic today. But I know we got them. So I'm just going to let it sit there for a minute. Let Jesus do what Jesus does. Let the Holy Spirit talk where I'm being a little bit delayed and quiet. Well, Pastor Kevin, why don't you let them have it? Because I found out a long time ago the best use of my own energy is not spent in trying to talk to people who are in the windows, but rather to talk to people who are in the streets. We got a job to do. Come on, we got a job to do. And we can't let the critics stop us. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, when we experience criticism, let's push past it. Don't let gossip, don't let murmuring, don't let criticism take you off course with your destiny. Wow, wow, I could stop right there and go home but I'm not going to. I'm not quite done. Criticism and critique are the same, but different. I want to help you out with this because critique is a healthy, helpful form of criticism. Naked and Unafraid is the first time that I've done an audiobook, and it was a great experience for me, but because I'd never done it before, I wasn't ready for the intense, constant critique that I received. On my first day, let me kind of paint the picture for you. On my first day, I arrived at the studio and I took my place in the reading room. All new environment for me, all new people around me. I put on my headset, and when I put it on, the audio production engineer, who I could see through the window, was on the headset. And then that audio engineer introduced me to the audio director, who was in New York, in my other ear. If I miss a word, one word, she interrupts. I'm like, that started happening. I'm like, nobody gets to do this but my wife. That's what I'm thinking. Like, she does it, trust me, all the time. So, but seriously, like, leave out an A, an it, something that didn't even make the sentence any better. If I mispronounce, she interrupts. And here's one. I even did it earlier, I think, in this message. I'm not really sure still how it applies, but some of you smart people know and can figure it out. I have a quote in my book. In fact, it's in this section where it talks about it's not the critic who counts. And it's a quote by Theodore, and I always call it Roosevelt. She says, no, stop me. It's Roosevelt. See what I'm saying? And then she explains quickly, because she didn't want to linger very long, but she said, it all has to do with something in the English language when it all changed, and there's an original, and there's a proper, and then there's an updated, and somewhere in the family line, we call it Roosevelt today, but it was Roosevelt proper, and I want you to do Roosevelt. I'm like, okay, Theodore Roosevelt. I'm talking about picky, picky, picky. Like, if I don't have the right voice inflection, she stops me. And then she reads it for me. If I'm backing a little bit away from the mic, like, the audio guy jumping in. Like, both ears. And I'm trying to concentrate and read, folks. Is anybody feeling my pain here? My doctor was explaining to me that there's two different kinds of cholesterol. One is LDL, which he said I could remember as lousy cholesterol. The other is HDL, which is what he calls the helpful cholesterol. So here's what I want you to understand. Critique comes from the same root word as criticism. But critique is the healthy, helpful form of criticism. If you'll look on your screen, or by the book, hello, I'll show you the difference in the two. Just a few thoughts. Critics are self-appointed. Critique is invited. Critics find fault. Critique looks for ways to improve. Criticism condemns and critique encourages. You're still going to get interrupted, but you're going to get direction. You're still going to be, no, wait, hang on. You're still going to be coached, but you're going to get better. Criticism is opinionated and critique is collaborative. It's like, let's do this together. Like, I'm not abandoning you. I'm not throwing a stone over here and running for cover. I'm not aiming at you over the computer behind that screen of safety. It's crazy. Like, you, people today who criticize you often go to their social media and it's all blocked off. They're not giving their name. Cowards. Okay, I wasn't going to go there. I just wanted to tell you. I'm talking about having courage. Come on, I'm talking about having courage. On one hand, there are too many critics without credentials. And on the other, you can benefit greatly from people who are qualified to critique you, who are for you, and who want to see you win. So even though she's interrupting me when I'm reading, she was smarter than me. Like, she had all kinds of degrees behind her name. She understood the English language backwards and forward, and she was a professional who people hire to read their books for them. So there's a big difference. And that's why, a little word for all the coaches who are out there coaching our children in sports. You need parents to let the coach coach. I'm not talking about degrade. I'm not talking about call your kid's name, but let the coaches coach and let them do it direct. Like, even the best athletes, when you get to a professional level, you still need a coach. Coach will say, get your elbow up. When you hold that bat, like, I want you right now to take a nut, like, okay, 2-3 inches back from the plate. You're standing too close. Even the pros need coaching. And you don't get as good as you can be without other people speaking into your life. Critique is great. One last thought. Never let criticism cause you to quit. Never, 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 never let criticism cause you to quit. Rather than letting those words stay in your soul, Push past the criticism. Replace it by speaking God's word of affirmation and approval over your life. Come on, man of God. Come on, woman of God. Go ahead and declare that what was intended to harm you is working for your good. Go ahead and declare you've never lost a battle. Go ahead and declare, in all things, God, you work for the good. I am blessed. I am strong. I am mighty in the land. Never let criticism discourage you and cause you to quit. One of my favorite stories is in the Bible on the topic of criticism is the story of a man named Nehemiah, who God called to return to his homeland, rebuild the city of Jerusalem, which was in ruins. So he goes back home. He had a great career, great job going, and he goes back home to Jerusalem, surveys the premise of the land, and then gathers the people. The morale was low, poverty was high, hopelessness was prevailing in the city. And he started to cast vision for them. And they started to build and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And wouldn't you know it, the critics came out. They launched what would be the equivalent today of a media attack. And when that didn't slow them down, the ringleaders of the smear campaign sent word to him to come and meet with them. And Nehemiah sent back word telling them, listen to this. You can read it in scriptures, Nehemiah 6. I am doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should the work come to a standstill just so I can come and have lunch and listen to you complain? I added my own little flair on that, obviously. They made up stories about him. I mean, they just kept on. They spread word and rumors through the city. They hired people, literally, I'm not making this up. They hired people to lie about him. They were trying to build a case. And so they hired people to lie about him. They hired people to threaten his life if he didn't stop building the wall. But he continued to build with courage. Now, for you today, it's not the physical wall you're building, but it's a life, it's a future. And you've decided, some of you who are here this weekend, you've decided to turn your life around, to change your ways, and to follow Jesus. And I'm talking to you this weekend. You might be the first in your family to make the decision to step out and to give your life to Christ, and you're going to have friends and you're going to have family who are going to take little jabs at you, and they're going to make insinuating remarks to you, and they're going to launch their opinions about you right in your direction. And I want to encourage you today, push past the criticism. Maybe today you're rising up from the ruins of a messed up, broken family history. And in your heart, you want to build a kingdom-centered, powerful generation legacy. You, in your heart, you're saying, my history is not my legacy. My children are going to be raised different. My house is going to be a different house. My marriage is going to be a different house and a different marriage. Well, I feel faith rising up today. Come on, I feel faith rising up today. When you start to make progress and do exceptional things, I promise you. Not everyone is going to cheer you on. Not everyone will like you, and critical people will talk about you. But here's my word for you. When you're doing a great work, don't come down. When complainers call, don't come down. When the email comes, I just want to talk to you. I want to meet with you. Chances are you don't need to have that meeting. When people talk out at you, chances are you don't even need to respond. Some of you are like, well, that's the courteous thing to do. The guarded, protective thing to do. You got to guard your heart. And you got to understand the stickiness of criticism. It takes 10 positive things to compare with and equalize one negative thing. You cannot afford to risk your destiny for a critic in the window who only wants to criticize you. Don't come down. Don't come down. Tell your neighbor right now. Come on. Turn around and tell your neighbor, don't come down. You're building the wall. Don't come down. You're doing a great work. Don't come down. 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 Come on, let's give the Lord a great big hand today, can't we? Wow, wow, wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful today that you're in the house of God. You're a part of this great service, because I believe with all my heart that you're here today, not by accident or coincidence. You are here by divine appointment. You are meant to be right where you are today, hearing this word for your life. And I know it's got a lot of different ways that it applies, but I'm just feeling, I felt all week long, I cannot wait. Because I know this is a game changer for some people this weekend who are not going to leave like they came. They're not going to face life the same way they were facing it before. They're going to understand their life is a whole lot bigger than worrying about small-minded people who are trying to get to them and take them off course with God's plan for their life. Wow, wow, wow. Come on, let's give the Lord another good hand today. Great word, huh? Great encouragement. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone to stay right where you are till the service is completely done. But right now, I want to invite you today. If you're in the house, in whatever way, at whatever place today, and you have received a new beginning in your life, in your relationship with God, just as an exercise of appreciation toward heaven, I want you to put at least one hand up in the air and say, I am grateful that God forgave me of my sin, gave me a brand new life. I'm grateful for a new beginning. Hands are going up all around, I'm sure at every location today. Because you know what? God is faithful. And Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all, not just some, but all of our sins, to cleanse us and to give us the gift of righteousness, which simply means right standing with God. So for those of you who this weekend is your opportunity, maybe you're at a place where you're saying, Pastor Kevin, that's what I need for my life. I need a new beginning in my life. I need a fresh start. Like, I need to mark the day, mark the moment. And I just need to start right here, right now, today, and get in right standing with God. Can I just remind you, you don't have to be perfect. None of us are. Yeah, and you don't have to think you have to qualify. You've already been qualified. Jesus qualified you. All you got to do is step out today and say, I receive the gift of salvation and eternal life. And if that's you, we want to pray with you right now. And I'm going to invite you to pray along with us, if you would. Everybody in the house, say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin and make me a new person. I receive you now as the leader, as the Lord of my life. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Okay, hold on just a second. This is awesome. I love this moment. If you just prayed that prayer, you received a brand new beginning in your life today. Okay, either committed or recommitted your life to Christ. I'm going to ask you, if you would, I'm going to count to three. On the count of three, I want you to throw a hand up in the air. We want to celebrate. Heaven is already celebrating. We want to get in on the celebration. Are you ready? One, two, three. Put your hand up high. Welcome. Welcome. Come on, church. Let's celebrate. Welcome, 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 welcome to a brand new beginning today. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.